This program has been described by AudioVision Canada. Described movies are also available on audio cassette. These audio cinemas can be enjoyed on any audio cassette player. For information on available titles, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. The contents of this cassette are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Many ages ago, when this ancient planet was not quite so ancient, long before man recorded history, was the time of Middle Earth, when man shared his days with elves, dwarves, wizards, goblins, dragons, and hobbits. In the lands of Middle Earth, in an area known as the Shire, there was a village named Hobbiton. There, in a hole in the ground, lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole, nor a dry, bare, sandy hole. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort.
In his cozy hole, the hobbit finishes washing his lunch dishes and reaches for his pipe. Short and stout, he steps out his round front door on furry feet like a rabbit's. As he blows smoke rings, an old man appears, tall and white bearded, with a wizard's hat and staff.
Bilbo Baggins?
Yes?
I am looking to hire a burglar.
Burglar? I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place.
You mean you do not wish to share a grand adventure?
Dear me, no. We hobbits are plain, quiet folk. Adventures make one late for dinner.
Enough. I am Gandalf. And Gandalf means me.
Bilbo stares in amazement.
Gandalf? Not the wandering wizard.
The same.
As Bilbo watches, two dwarves appear over a hillock. Others pop up from behind bushes, trees, and flowers. They all gather round him.
Foreign and company, at your service. Dwalin, Balin, Kili, Fili, Dori, Nori, and Ori. Owen, sir, and Goin, sir. Call him Biffa and him Baffa.
And, Bumble, at your service.
We are all at your service.
Chip the glasses, crank the plates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. So get rid with the plates.
Later, after tea, Bilbo watches nervously as the dwarves stack his plates into great teetering piles in the sink.
What do these dwarves want in Hobbiton?
They have come for tea, and for supper, and for you, Burglar Baggins.
Far o'er the misty mountains go.
By the light of the fire, the dwarves make music and sing.
To dungeons deep and caverns go. We must awake.
Magic in that music.
And it moves through me.
You feel the love of beautiful things.
To go and see the great mountains, hear the pine trees and waterfalls.
To wear a sword instead of a walking stick.
Just once.
Gandalf, dwarves, and burglar Baggins.
What is this burglar business?
If you prefer, you can say expert treasure hunter.
Well, yes, I do prefer that.
We are met tonight in the house of our friend, this most excellent hobbit. May the hair on his toes never fall out.
Hear, hear!
We shall soon start on our long journey. Our object is, I take it, well known to us? All of us?
It is not well known to me.
Really? Then we must inform our burglar. We seek a treasure. that which is rightfully ours. Far off in the east, beyond the misty mountains and the dark forest of Mirkwood, there you will find Lonely Mountain.
Bilbo imagines he can see the mountain, and inside it...
Long ago, this was the home of my people, and was ruled by my grandfather, King Under the Mountain.
The dwarves of yore made mighty spells, while hammers fell like ringing bells, in places deep where dark things sleep, in hollow halls beneath the fells. Goblets they carved there for themselves, and harps of gold where no man delves. There lay they long, and many a song was sung unheard by man or elves. For ancient king and elvish lord, there many a gleaming golden hoard they shaped and wrought, and light they caught to hide in gems on hilt of sword. On silver necklaces they strung the flowering stars, on crowns they hung the dragon fire and twisted wire. They meshed the light of moon and sun.
Undoubtedly, all this wealth was what brought the dragon.
The pines were roaring on the height. The winds were moaning in the night. The fire was red. It flamed spread. The trees, like torches, blazed with light.
And below us in the valley lay Dale.
The bells were ringing in the dale. The men looked up with faces pale. The dragon's ire, more fierce than fire, laid low their towers and houses frail. The mountains smoked beneath the moon. The dwarves, they heard the tramp of doom. They fled their hall to dying fall beneath his feet, beneath the moon.
Bilbo's house.
Curses to the dragon! Curses to Smaug! He killed our men and stole our gold!
Curses to the dragon, Smaug!
Is this the adventure you've planned for me? To help you recapture the gold?
None other. There are 13 of you. Very unlucky. Mr. Baggins will make it 14.
Oh. A splendid lucky number you found for us.
No arguments. Let us have the contract.
To Burglar Baggins, terms for your professional services. 1/14th of total profits, traveling expenses guaranteed, funeral expenses if necessary, sincerely, Thorin and Company. Funeral expenses?
Do you find the terms acceptable?
Of course he does.
But I...
And so... tomorrow begins your greatest adventure.
Yay! Later that night, the house is dark.
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands.
Unable to sleep, Bilbo steps outside to look at the moon.
The greatest adventure.
Rankin Bass presents The Hobbit.
Let go of the moon.
Based on the original version of The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien.
The meaning can make you delay.
Bilbo goes back to bed and closes his eyes.
And waste in the day.
Starring Orson Bean.
The man who's a dreamer.
Richard Boone.
And never takes leave.
Hans Conried.
Who thinks of a world that is just make-believe.
John Huston.
Never know passion.
Otto Preminger.
Never know pain. Who pass by the window.
Cyril Richard.
Will one day see rain.
And Theodore.
The greatest adventure.
With the talents of Paul Frees, Jack DeLeon, Don Messick, and John Stevenson.
Are yet to be said.
The Greatest Adventure, The Ballad of the Hobbit, is sung by Glenn Yarborough. Music composed, arranged, and conducted by Maury Laws. Lyrics written and adapted by Jules Bass. Production design by Arthur Rankin Jr. Adapted for the screen by Romeo Mueller. Produced and directed by Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass. The next morning, after dreaming he becomes a king, Bilbo finds Gandalf and the dwarves all ready and waiting outside. He joins them, and they set off on the great adventure.
No hat, no stick, no pipe, not even a pocket handkerchief. How can one survive?
They begin to climb toward the Misty Mountains.
How did Gandalf get ahead of us, Bumble?
He comes and goes at will. He is a wizard, you know.
It starts to rain.
Oh, bother burgling and everything to do with it.
Always remember, Bill, when your heart wants lifting, think of pleasant things.
Eggs and bacon, a good full pipe, my garden at twilight, cakes.
We'll camp here. Perhaps we can find a patch to sleep on.
They try to light a fire, but it's raining too hard.
Our lookout has spied something.
Look! Trolls!
Nearby, three ugly trolls sit around a fire cooking meat.
Miserable, no good robbing trolls.
Where the deuce is Gandalf?
Left us again, just when a wizard would have been most useful.
No matter. We've an expert burglar with us.
What have trolls to do with burgling?
We could use some of that meat they're cooking.
Oh, I say.
Burglar, do your burgling.
Blast. Nothing but mutton to eat.
How I look for a bit of bad flesh.
Bacon and eggs, my fireplace, hot chestnuts.
Bilbo creeps toward the huge trolls. They spot him.
What the blazes?
Help! Help! Let me down! Stop that! Stop that!
What have we got here?
Let's cook him and find out.
He wouldn't make a mouthful. But maybe there's more where he came from.
Dwarves! I'm done for! Run for it!
The dwarves take off.
Supper.
Let's go get them all.
Dropping Bilbo, the trolls go after the dwarves. Bilbo slips into the trolls' nearby cave. Soon after, all the dwarves have been caught and tied up in bags.
Let's roast them.
Boil them, says I.
Each to his own, boys. There's plenty for all. I likes mine raw.
Outside the cave.
Dawn take you all, and be stone to you.
Gandalf raises his arms, and the sun appears.
The sun! Blast it!
How did the morning come so soon? We're done for.
The sunlight turns the trolls to stone.
Excellent. One moment. One moment.
Gandalf frees Thorin.
Where's that bumbling burglar? Lucky number indeed.
Over here. Come see what I've found.
Not bad, burglar, for your first attempt.
Oh, it was nothing, actually.
The cave is filled with treasure.
We'll keep these.
deucedly fine blades, considering they were made by trolls.
They don't seem like troll blades to me. Probably stolen. See these strange runes?
Whatever are runes?
Ancient writing. Mine has them too. Can you make them out?
I am not familiar with these letters.
Well, whoever made them, we've got them now. Cover up the treasure, man. We'll fetch it on our return.
Take that, Smug, you filthy worm.
I see you've also claimed a sword.
Yes, just a dagger, actually. But for one of my size, it suffices.
Bilbo sheathes his short sword.
The greatest adventure.
With Gandalf, he watches the dwarves bury the treasure.
Hurry, men. We must be on our way. Hold. Hold.
It is time for you to have this.
And what may that be?
This is a map of Lonely Mountain, presented to me 100 years ago by your father.
What? Why did it not come to me, the rightful heir?
I've chosen my own time to hand it over.
Oh, I do love maps. I have quite a collection.
Bah, I remember the mountain well enough without this.
Indeed. And how do you intend to enter Smaug's chambers? Through the main gate, as a house guest? You'd be ashes before you took your seventh step.
Oh, see, look. This hand points from these runes to, bless my soul, a secret entrance. A hidden passage to the lower halls.
Excellent, burglar.
I'm really quite good with maps.
Let me see. Yes, quite correct.
But has it remained a secret all these years?
It's too small for Smaug to use. And it's covered by a door made to look exactly like the side of the mountain. Here is the key. Keep it safe.
Huh? Oh, well, of course I will.
But if the secret door is hidden, how do we find it? The map doesn't tell.
It does, and it doesn't.
Huh?
You will understand in time.
Today and tomorrow are yet to be said.
Sometime later, they reach a peaceful valley. Near its center, smoke rises from the chimney of a dwelling.
Behold at last, Rivendell, the hidden valley of the elves, where Elrond dwells.
Simply enchanting.
But we must be on.
Pity. Elvish singing is not a thing to miss in June under the stars. But
single file, they make their way down a steep path to the valley. Bilbo slips and slides much of the way. That night, in the main hall of Elrond's home.
My dear Elrond, your hospitality is magnificent. The food, the wine, the stories, the music.
Yes, but we've much to accomplish. You promised to have a look-see at these troll swords after our feast.
Yes, yes, of course.
Well, first of all, they're not troll-make. They must have been stolen. They were made for the Goblin Wars. This sword, Thorin, the rune's name. Orcrist, the Goblin Cleaver.
And mine?
Glamdring, the Foe Hammer. Keep them well.
I will keep this in honor.
Now show me your map.
I have it here.
Bilbo brings it to him.
Something strange. Let's see.
He holds the map up to the moonlight.
Yes, indeed. There are moon letters here. See?
What are moon letters?
Runes that can only be seen when the moon shines behind them. They give directions for finding the secret door. Stand by the grey stone when the thrush knocks, and the last light of the setting sun will shine upon the keyhole.
Later, high in the mountains again, they're caught in a storm.
This way! Shelter! A dry cave!
The travelers settle down in the cave.
Now get some sleep, men. We've found the perfect place to camp.
Bilbo dreams of home.
Tip the glasses, crack the plates. That's what Bilbo
does. And stacks of unwashed dishes in his sink. He wakes up.
Dwarves have a strange notion of perfection. And where's Gandalf? Gone again? I wish I was a wizard.
Behind Bilbo, the wall of the cave begins to open.
Hello? What's this?
Rocks crash down as the opening grows.
Look out!
Something drags the ponies through the opening.
The ponies! The ponies! Wake up! They're being robbed!
Thorin and the other dwarves awake.
The goblins are upon us! Save the ponies from the goblins! You go,
they rush through the opening. As Bilbo follows them, the opening closes behind him. Looming from the darkness, the goblins surround him. They have horns and huge mouths bristling with sharp fangs.
Goblins clap and goblins beat, goblins clap and goblins beat, and hammer, whip and hammer, blow.
Seizing Bilbo and the dwarves, the goblins chain them together. And then march them off deeper into the mountain. Soon after, in the cavern of the Goblin King.
Who are these miserable persons?
Thorin at your service. We did not mean to trespass. We were merely seeking shelter from the storm.
He is a liar, O truly tremendous one. Ask him to explain his weapon. This sword is named Orcrist, the Goblin Cleaver.
Murderers! Elf friends!
As the Goblin King opens his jaws to bite off Thorin's head.
Stop!
The fire goes out, and a white light shines above them. Its rays petrify the goblins. The white light comes from a sword.
I know that sword! It is called Glamfring! The Foe Hammer! Now!
Swooping down, the sword touches the Goblin King, who swirls off into nothingness. Holding up the sword, Gandalf appears.
Gandalf! Good old Gandalf!
Follow me, quickly!
They hurry after the wizard.
Through here! Follow me!
As they follow Gandalf into a tunnel, angry goblins give chase. Looking back, Bilbo bumps his head, tumbles off the path, and plunges into a deep, dark hole. Hearing his cry, one of the dwarves turns back.
Bilbo! He's gone!
Anxiously, the dwarf approaches the deep, dark hole and peers down into it.
Bilbo! Where are you?
Far, far below, at the bottom of the hole, is a lake with a small island in the middle. Floating nearby is a pale amphibious creature.
My precious. It is my precious.
With huge eyes and long skinny fingers.
My precious. Precious and precious.
It catches a frog to eat.
For my precious.
Eggs and bacon, spoons all polished, warm muffins and sweet butter.
Bilbo reaches the shore of the lake.
What is that noise? My precious. My precious does not know.
As the creature paddles toward the shore, Bilbo draws his sword and discovers it glows.
Bless my soul.
By its light, he finds something on the shore at his feet.
Hello, what's this?
It's a gold ring.
Nice souvenir to show the neighbors back home, if I ever get home.
As Bilbo slips the ring in his pocket, the creature appears from behind a rock.
Oh, who are you?
Bless us, my precious. A tasty morsel. It would make us...
It moves toward the much smaller hobbit.
Is it, my precious?
I am Mr. Bilbo Baggins. I've lost my dwarves, my wizard, and my way.
As the creature comes closer, Bilbo holds up the sword.
Mind you, I'm armed with an elvish blade.
The creature shrinks back.
That's better. Perhaps you know the way out?
Yes, Gollum. But perhaps we sit here and chat with it, Ebbetsy, my precious. It likes riddles?
Do I like riddles? Well, yes, after a fashion.
It must have a competition with us. If Precious asks and it doesn't answer, wish eats it, my precious.
Oh, I say.
But if it asks us and we doesn't answer, then we shows it the way out.
It seems I have no choice.
My precious, we makes the first riddle. Voiceless, it cries, wingless, flutters, toothless, bites, mouthless, mutters. Can it guess the answer?
Half a moment.
Is it nice, my precious? Is it juicy, gooey, yucky? Is it scrumptious?
If you please. Wind. Wind is the answer. Ah. Now my turn. A box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid.
Let us give us a chance, my precious. Ah. Eggs. Eggs it is.
It cannot be seen, it cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelled.
As Bilbo and the creature continue their competition, ghostly voices swirl upward like smoke into the huge cavern that looms above the lake.
It comes first and follows after.
I'm a quiver with anticipation.
This thing always seems devours birds, beasts, trees, flowers, knows iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays king, ruins town, and beats.
Well, interesting. Yes, now, let me see.
What does it answer? What does it answer?
Just a moment now.
My precious, will it taste delicious? Yes, it will.
Give me some time.
What? What?
I said time, time.
The creature draws back in chagrin.
Whatever is the matter?
Yes! Time is the answer.
It is? Oh, I knew it all along. That's an old one. Well, fun's fun. Now, couldn't we get out of here?
No! It's got to ask us another riddle, my precious. Yes, yes!
Oh, blast, I can't think of another one.
Ask! Ask!
Oh, very well.
Bilbo thinks, then.
What have I got in my pocket?
Not here. Not here to ask, my precious, what it's got in its nasty little pocket is this.
I'm sorry, that's my riddle. If you can't guess it, you lose and show me out.
Oh, my precious losers. But first, my precious shows it is something pretty.
You wish to show me something?
My birthday present.
The creature slips into the water and paddles off.
Wait! Where are you going?
My precious finds a ring on his birthday. Long ago, a golden ring, a magic ring.
On the island in the middle of the lake is a small cave. Inside it, the creature searches for the magic ring.
Now what? He'll never guess my pocket contained this.
Bilbo pulls out the ring.
Bless my soul!
There it is! There it is! My holy ring! My magic ring! Lost! Hassas! And crashes! My ring! Lost! My precious remembers. He wears it before, and he drops it on the shore. Curse it! Curse the beggins! He's found it! My ring! My birthday present!
As the creature paddles back toward shore...
My, he does carry on.
Bilbo nervously slips the ring on his finger. To his amazement, he becomes invisible.
Bless my soul!
He draws his sword, which shines visibly.
The ring?
He pulls it off, then puts it back on and vanishes again.
Yes, most definitely.
As the creature reaches shore,
better douse this.
Bilbo sheathes the sword and disappears completely. The creature looks around for him.
Where is it? Where is it? It is Trixie. It says he doesn't know the way out, but it knows the way in, my precious. It must know a way out. Aha! It's off to the back door. My precious must make haste to the back door. Yes, 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 to the back door.
The creature hurries off.
How convenient. Well, follow the leader.
The creature climbs up a narrow, rocky tunnel to its end.
It's not here, my precious. It's snake in a snake.
Following invisibly behind, Bilbo leaps over the creature
Ta-ta!
And scurries away.
Peace!
outside the mountain with Gandalf and the dwarves.
You see, well, the art of burgling is really, you know, the art of being unobtrusive. Invisible, so to speak.
Your story, Bilbo, has the ring of truth. Yes, it rings true.
Gandalf winks.
You need say no more. We'd best get a move on. There are still goblins about.
Oh, bother. More mountains?
No, don't you see? The sun is setting in the west, behind the mountains. We're on the other side, to the edge of the land beyond.
That night in the woods.
Wargs!
With the goblins!
15 birds in 5-fir trees. Their feathers were fanned in a fiery breeze.
As bloodthirsty goblins ride giant wolves down from the hills to attack them, Gandalf and the others scramble up into a large tree.
With the funny little things.
Bilbo is too small to reach the lowest branch.
With the funny little things. Roast them alive.
With the goblins closing in, a dwarf reaches down and pulls Bilbo up. A wolf snaps at his heels.
Beards glaze and eyes glaze till hair swells and skin.
Gandalf drives them back with some magic fireworks.
Black cinders lie beneath the sky.
But they soon return with blazing torches. And set the tree on fire.
But funny little birds, they had no wings. Oh, what shall we do with the funny little things?
The dwarves shrink back as the flames mount higher.
Help! No! We can't go any higher!
At the top of the tree, Gandalf raises his arms, summoning a flight of eagles. Their leader swoops down and carries Gandalf away. The other eagles each rescue a dwarf and fly away from the burning tree. Bilbo clings to the legs of one of the dwarves. Adventurers are set down safely at the edge of Mirkwood Forest.
O great Lord of the Eagles, we are eternally grateful for your gallant rescue.
I have not forgotten the arrow that brought me down so many years ago. I have not forgotten the wizard who found me and healed my wound. And now, farewell wherever you fare. Till your Ares receive you at the journey's end.
As the eagles take to the air, the adventurers wave their thanks.
So this is the forest of Mirkwood.
Terrible place, if I remember. And dangerous.
Now. The map shows the safest path. Follow it closely, straight through the forest. Don't stray off the track. If you do, you will never get out of Mirkwood.
You speak as if you weren't going with us.
I'm not. I have pressing business away south.
Oh, no! He can't mean it!
What will we do without Gandalf?
Please, don't leave us!
Now, I'm already late because of bothering with you people. I am sending Mr. Baggins with you. That should be enough.
Mr. Baggins?
Bilbo?
The burglar?
Me? I'm no equal to a wizard.
Nonsense. You are the lucky number. And soon you'll find out there's more about you than you guess.
The chances, the changes are all yours to make.
sir, will be my surrogate, my replacement, so to say. Here is paper and a marker. Keep a strict log of the remainder of your journey, so I may study it when we meet again and point out your missteps.
I can only do my best.
Then that will have to suffice.
Gandalf turns and is gone.
The mold of your life is in your hands to break.
To Gandalf, as per your instructions, I am keeping this log of our journey through Mirkwood Forest. I shall make good use of it someday as a basis for my memoirs, which I intend to call There and Back Again, A Hobbit's Holiday.
Roads go ever, ever on.
Bilbo leads the dwarves through the forest.
Over rock and under tree. By caves where never sun has shone. By streams that never find the sea.
The days are terrible, and the nights are impossible, for we are hungry and thirsty. The berries which grow here are hideous. Everything about these woods is unpleasant. One day we decided someone should climb to the top of the tallest tree and have a look about. I couldn't argue. My contract is vague on several points.
Bilbo climbs up the tree.
Over snow by winter snow. And through the merry flowers of dew.
Reaching the top, Bilbo emerges into bright sunlight shining on green trees as far as he can see. And floating above the treetops are thousands of butterflies.
There are moments which can change a person for all time. And I suddenly wondered if I would ever see my snug hobbit hole again. I wondered if I actually wanted to.
Let go of the moment that life makes you.
I awoke the next morning to a hideous surprise.
Bilbo is almost covered in a spider web. Looming over him is a huge spider. As it approaches, Bilbo draws his sword and cuts himself free. When the spider attacks, he darts aside. Then, as it charges again, he stabs it.
Now I will give you a name.
He lifts the sword.
And I shall call you Sting. The remainder of the morning was spent in seeking my companions. And I found them, finally, in a place as black and terrible as a patch of midnight that had never been cleared away.
Wrapped up in spider webs, the dwarves hang from a tree. A spider checks them.
They'll make fine eating when they've hung a bit.
Moving closer, the spider pokes the plumpest dwarf.
Go away! Go away!
Bumble! I certainly could not let my companions, my comrades, become a meal for those hideous spiders. Action was called for.
Bilbo puts on the magic ring and disappears. Lifting a large rock, he throws it at the spider, killing it. He uses his sword to free the dwarves from their spiderweb cocoons.
Now you are all free. I know the spider's poisons have made you weak, but you must follow me. Quickly.
They hurry off after Bilbo, just as several spiders return.
On the path ahead. There it is. It has freed us up. Now we see you. We will eat you and leave our skin hanging in the tree. Grab it.
Bilbo stops.
I think I can hold them off. Run to the wood elves' clearing.
But how can you?
I will do the stinging. Run swiftly now.
Bilbo puts on the ring and disappears. Floating in the air, his shining sword slashes at the spiders.
Lazy Lord! After call!
Dispatching two of them.
What is it? What is it called?
Sting! Sting! Sting!
As the other spiders flee, Bilbo removes the ring and sheathes the sword.
I joined my companions at the clearing of the wood elves, but when I found them, I was in for another surprise. The wood elves had returned, but armed for battle. The dwarves, weakened as they were by their encounter with the spiders, gave up without a struggle.
As the dwarves are marched off by the wood elves, Bilbo uses his ring to follow them invisibly.
We traveled all day and into the night. Finally, we came to the palace of the Elf King, which was at the very eastern edge of the forest. We'd come all the way through, only to end up as prisoners.
Bilbo slips in before the gate closes. In the hall of the Elf King...
Why did you dwarfs try to attack?
No attack. We came to beg. We were starving.
And why were you in the forest in the first place?
That is our business.
Very well. Take them away until they feel inclined to tell the truth, even if they wait 100 years.
Greed. The fortune we were after was big enough to share with the elves. They'd make valuable allies against that old worm Smaug.
In the elves' dungeon.
Instead, they became the enemy, and we were their prisoners.
The dwarves are locked in cells.
And even though my invisibility allowed me to move about with ease, I had no way of opening the locks. So it was weeks before I found a way to free my companions. Part of the river flowed under the caves. Deliveries of fine wines were brought up the river by human men who lived on Long Lake. Now, wood elves enjoy their wine, and the barrels were soon drained.
An elf rolls an empty barrel through a trap door into the river below. As Bilbo watches, soon after, wearing the ring, he steals the dungeon keys from a drunken elf. In short order, concealed in empty barrels, the dwarves float out of the dungeon.
Oh, they don't get shelled in the barrels.
Oh, stop complaining. I never promised to burgle you first-class accommodation.
Bilbo rides atop the last barrel. As they float down the river, toward a distant, jagged peak.
The Lonely Mountain. I'd come far and through many adventures to see it, and now I did not like the look of it at all.
The river carries them toward Long Lake, and a town built out from the shore on stilts.
Within hours, we'd reached the colony of humans called Lake Town, a precise, if not too imaginative name, for the village was actually built on the surface of Long Lake.
Men retrieve the floating barrels and lift them onto a wooden dock.
Here, the descendants of the men of Dale still dared to dwell and do business in the shadow of old Smaug's mountain.
A barrel splits open, and Thorin spills out.
I am Thorin, grandson of King Under the Mountain. I have returned.
He collapses.
The stream shall run in darkness. The lake shall shine and burn. All sorrow, fear, and sadness.
Thorin and the others are taken to the town square.
Hail, Thorin Oakenshield. I am Bard the Guardsman.
We are honored by your presence. Your grandfather lives in our songs and legends. What help we can offer will be yours, and we trust to your gratitude. When the dragon Smaug is killed and your kingdom is regained.
Fed, fattened, given supplies, and 2 weeks later found us nearing the end of our journey. And chances were it would be a very horrible end indeed.
The adventurers begin their ascent of Lonely Mountain. Near a waterfall.
That smell. I've not smelled dragon before.
All the halls within must be filled with his foul reek.
And while Smaug slept inside, we spent our days searching for that elusive secret door. Then, one afternoon...
Near the top of the mountain...
And so, Gandalf, while I wait, I inscribe the final pages of your log.
Bilbo writes while the others rest.
My only companion is an annoying bird cracking snails.
Stand by the gray stone when the thrush knocks, and the last light of the setting sun will shine upon the keyhole.
A beam shines.
Oh, my goodness! Wake up! Wake up! It's happening!
By thunder!
As Bilbo and the dwarves stare in wonder, a keyhole appears in the solid rock.
There it is!
Tharn puts his key in the keyhole and turns it. The rock slides back, revealing a passage into the mountain.
Well, here we are.
But what now?
Now is the time for our esteemed Mr. Baggins to perform the service for which he was included in our company.
Me?
You must earn your reward. We do have a contract.
You think it's my job to go in first? I've already gotten you out of two messes not in the original bargain. And who will come with me? Any of you? I see.
Well, you are the burglar. Go down and burgle something.
Very well. I won't refuse.
Good luck.
Thank you. I've begun to trust my luck more than in the old days.
Bilbo enters the dark passage.
Now you're in for it at last, Bilbo Baggins. Why are you here? You've no use for dragon treasures.
To measure the meaning.
The thrush flies in after him. Ahead, a fiery light glows at the end of the passage.
Feel the worm's heat, Mr. Baggins. A few more steps and you shall see the old dragon Smaug at last.
Bilbo wipes sweat from his face.
You can still turn back, you know. But to go on, to take those steps... That would be the bravest of all moments. Whatever happens afterwards is nothing. Yes, here is where you fight your real battle, Mr. Bilbo Baggins. Do you go back?
It's time you stop thinking and wasting the day.
No!
He creeps the last few steps and peers into the dragon's lair. Sprawled on his vast treasure, Smaug dozes with smoke seeping from his nostrils. Encouraged by the thrush, Bilbo tiptoes over to the treasure. As he takes a chalice, Smaug stirs. Bilbo hides the chalice in his coat and slips on his magic ring. The dragon's eyes open, and red light pours from them in searchlight beams.
Well, thief. I smell you, feel your air, and I hear your breath. Come along. Help yourself. There's plenty and to spare.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Smug, the magnificent. I did not come for presents. I only wish to have a look at you and see if you are truly as great as tales say. I did not believe them.
Do you now?
They fall utterly short of reality. Oh, Smug, the chiefest and greatest of calamities.
Smug lifts his head on a long, thick neck, questing.
You have nice manners for a thief and a liar. You know me, but I don't remember smelling you before. Who are you and where do you come from?
I come from under the hill, and under the hill and over the hills my paths led. And through the air I am he that walks unseen.
You make riddles? What is your name?
I am the lucky number, the web cutter, the spider stinger.
Lovely title.
I am he that drowns his friends and draws them alive again from the water. I am the guest of eagles, the ring winner and luck wearer, the clue finder and the barrel rider.
Barrel rider, eh? Then I have guessed your riddle. You are one of those miserable, tub-thumping lake men. You and your town shall pay dearly for this intrusion. So the lake men would steal my treasure.
Wait, you don't know everything. Not gold alone brought me hither.
Be done with your riddles. What else brought you, lake man?
Revenge! Surely you must realize that your success has made you some bitter enemies.
Revenge! You!
Stands on his huge taloned feet.
My armor is like tenfold shields. My teeth are like swords. My claws, spears. The shock of my tail, unbearable. My wings, a hurricane.
He beats his wings and makes a whirlwind of gold coins. From his mouth, a torrent of fire melts suits of armor.
Well, where are your riddles now?
Very, very impressive. However, I have always understood that dragons were soft underneath, vulnerable, especially in the region of the chest.
You have heard wrong. I am armored both above and below.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't know about that. I shall show you.
Smog rolls on his back.
Look! What do you say to this? Rare and wonderful, huh?
Invisible, Bilbo approaches.
Dazzling! Marvelous! Perfect.
Flawless. Staggering. Old fool. There's a patch in the hollow of your left breast as bare as a snail out of its shell.
The thrush spots it too.
Huh? What's that? More riddles?
No, my riddling is done. I really must not detain your magnificence any longer. Sorry you could not find me, but a fine burglar takes expert catching.
He takes off his magic ring.
Burglar!
Bilbo holds up the chalice. As Smaug unleashes a torrent of fire, Bilbo and the thrush dart into the passage. Far too big to follow, Smaug can only chase them with another blast of fire. Outside.
We should have gone with him.
To be roasted alive.
It's the burglar.
Three cheers for good old Bilbo.
Thank you, but I'd appreciate a more pragmatic salute. In other words, extinguish me!
Thorin puts out Bilbo's smoldering coat.
There we go. There we go. Always glad to help a friend.
I can't tell you how grateful I am.
Oh, never mind that. What did you burgle?
This.
He shows them the chalice.
Oh. What's that?
Earthquake?
Smaug flies out of the mountain. Soaring above them and shaking the earth with his roar, he belches fire.
Into the secret passage, our only chance.
They flee into the secret passage. With another fiery roar, he brings down boulders, trapping them inside the passage.
The lake people are doomed unless... Yes, you, who are a mere thrush, and yet so much more. You have seen Smaug. You know his vulnerable spot. Go now to Lake Town. There is a guardsman, Bard. Tell him.
The thrush flies out through a small opening in the boulders. Meanwhile, in Lake Town.
This breeze is strangely warm for autumn.
Bard, what's that?
From the clouds, a ball of fire streaks toward them.
The dragon is coming, or I'm a fool. Cut the bridges! To arms! To arms!
The townspeople take heed.
The dragon! Old Smaug, awake after all these years. The dragon is coming!
Smaug soars above the town, breathing fire. As he starts to swoop down on them, Bard commands the guardsmen.
Ready? As he passes over, arrow!
The arrows bounce harmlessly off the dragon's armored hide. Hovering, he belches a torrent of fire that sets the town ablaze. The guardsmen flee, several of them jumping into the water to escape the flames. As Smaug circles, the thrush flies to Bard, who stands alone now.
Away, you fool bird! Away!
But when the thrush hovers at his ear...
Speak?
He listens.
Eh? Bilbo Baggins? He found what? Yes. I'll look.
Bard sees Smaug's vulnerable spot.
So, you speak the truth, old thrush.
He draws an arrow.
Black arrow, you've never failed me, and I've always recovered you. I had you from my father, and he from of old. If ever you came from the forges of the true king under the mountain, go now and speed well.
He looses the arrow, which finds its mark. Mortally wounded, Smaug collapses into the lake. Boils up around him. Later, inside the mountain.
And I am his Thorin.
On top of the vast treasure, the dwarves salute Thorin.
Now then, much to be done. We must catalog our wealth. Dear me, and pack it for shipment.
Thorin slides down to Bilbo.
Join the fun, burglar. Part of this is yours.
Might be mine. What if Smaug returns?
Oh, he's been gone for a week now. Found greener pastures, no doubt.
Has this wealth made you mad? We must find our way out of this mountain and see for ourselves if he's gone, and quickly. According to this map, the main gate lies in this direction. Follow me, gentlemen.
Bilbo soon leads them out to the main gate, high above the surrounding valley.
Bless my soul! What are they?
Is the entire valley floor populated by giant fireflies?
Not fireflies, fires, campfires.
Nonsense. Only an army would need that many fires.
No, my friend. Two armies.
Bard of Lake Town? What did you say?
Two armies. Smaug is dead. I have slain him. The thrush delivered your message.
Really? Splendid news, old fellow. I hoped he would.
My people have made me king.
King? Really? Congratulations. Couldn't happen to a nicer chap, really. I don't know how to thank you.
Our town is destroyed and must be rebuilt. You can thank us by sharing your fortune.
Why, of course, there's plenty for all.
Wait, the fortune is ours and belongs to dwarves alone.
It wouldn't be yours if Smaug still lived.
A technicality. So you brought two armies to take it, eh?
I brought one army.
The other is mine.
It's the Elf King.
You, who threw us into the dungeon.
My people have suffered greatly from the worm through the years. We demand retribution.
Never.
But why not? There's enough for all in this mountain.
It's a matter of principle, of honor.
Then tomorrow we take it.
We will meet at sunrise on the field of battle. You realize you are hopelessly outnumbered.
This is ridiculous.
Quiet. What does a burglar know of these matters? Then tomorrow it is.
Early the next morning, the armies of elves and men gather on the field of battle.
The dragon is withered. His bones are now crumbled.
Inside the mountain, the dwarves arm themselves.
This is deucedly uncomfortable. I'm certain to get a rash.
That armor was forged in the foundries of my grandfather. Wear it proudly, and it will carry you to victory.
Confusticate and be bother, victory. My only hope is to be taken prisoner as quickly as possible.
Those are the words of a coward.
The coward who flushed out Smaug? The coward who saved you time and time again? The coward who always went forward while you cringed behind?
You don't see us cringing now, do you?
This is madness. 14 against 10,000, and yet you march off to certain destruction as merrily as if you were on your way to another tea party.
Your kind will never understand war, Hobbit. This is war! War! Lookout has spied something.
Oh, great king under the mountain.
Balin, it's only Thorin.
Quiet. Yes, General?
General?
Another army approaches from the northeast. An army of our kind. An army of dwarves.
My cousin Dayan from the Iron Hills?
None other.
Ha! Now we are not outnumbered. Now we have an army.
A battle of three armies?
To war!
Soon after, on the field of battle.
Onward! Forward! To battle!
The three armies advance.
Carry me, dwarf! Heaving dwarf! Kill them! Chop them! Take their heads!
Kill the men! Kill the elves! Save the gold for ourselves!
Bilbo follows reluctantly behind the dwarves.
Personally, I'd rather be back in Hobbit.
In the middle of the field, a gray-robed figure appears.
Who's that old man?
Get out of the way!
Move, you old fool.
Old fool?
Gandalf!
Halt! I would speak with the kings.
They approach him.
Dread has come upon you all. An army of goblins with claim to the treasure comes from the north. Behold!
A horde of bloodthirsty goblins gallops toward them.
They ride on wolves.
Oh, great Elf King, my truest friend and ally, we must join our forces against this common scourge.
But of course, O noble king under the mountain, your people are like brothers unto mine.
And my men and all their weapons are as one with yours. Together we will vanquish the foul foe. Together!
Thorin is correct. I simply do not understand war.
Bilbo sheds his armor and withdraws from the field as the battle is joined. The fighting is fierce, and many are slain. From a nearby hill, Bilbo watches.
A battle of four armies. One, two, three. Yes, four.
On the field.
Our cause is hopeless. The goblins are too powerful.
But we'll spill much of their blood before the day is finished.
If these be our last moments, men, let us live them with honor.
Hold. All is not lost. The goblins have many enemies. There is yet still another army on the way.
Gandalf points skyward.
The eagles!
Five armies now? Mr. Bilbo Baggins, enough is enough.
Bilbo slips on his magic ring and disappears. The eagles join the fray, lifting wolves and goblins into the air and then dropping them to their death. Slowly, the tide of battle turns and then ebbs. A badly wounded dwarf collapses near Bilbo, who takes off the ring and approaches him.
Bombo, you're hurt.
I still live. And you?
A slight wound, crack on the head, out for hours. What happened?
We won.
He expires. The field of battle is littered with the dead and dying.
Bomber gone, too.
Of our original 13, how many are left?
7.
And Thorin?
Soon there will be only 6.
Gandalf leads Bilbo to a tent, where Thorin lies upon a bed.
I have brought him.
Farewell, good thief. I wish to part in friendship, and would take back my words at the gate.
There are many words I would take back also.
And does it take this to make us see each other?
Thorin.
Hush. You are no coward, my friend. I am sorry I so named you.
This is not important.
And I was wrong. You did understand war. It was I who did not. Until now.
Farewell, King Under the Mountain.
Child of the kindly West, I have come to know, if more of us valued your ways, food and cheer above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. But sad or merry, I must leave it now. Farewell.
Farewell, Thorin.
Bilbo's eyes brim with tears as the sword Orcrist is laid upon the dead king's breast. Later on the long road home.
You take only 2 tiny bags of gold home with you? Your share was greater.
It's all my pony could carry, and it's more than I'll ever need.
But you have other prizes.
The ring? Oh, yes. I'll keep it as a souvenir in a glass box on the mantel.
And so the prophecies of old have come true. Smaug is gone, and the goblins driven away. The
dwarves and elves live in peace, and the men thrive, multiply, and build a civilization.
Prophecies.
What?
I had a hand in all that.
Surely you don't disbelieve the prophecies because you helped bring them about. You don't really suppose, do you, that all your adventures and escapes were managed by mere luck, just for your sole benefit? You're a very fine person, Mr. Baggins, and I'm very fond of you. But you're only quite a little fellow in a wide world, after all.
Thank goodness.
Yes, you'll return to your home. Place your souvenir ring on your mantle. Publish your story, which you believe has come to its end.
What do you mean, believe it has come to an end? It has, hasn't it?
Oh, Bilbo Baggins, if you really understood that ring, someday members of your family not yet born will, then you'd realize that this story has not ended, but is only beginning.
At home, by his own cozy hearth again, Bilbo looks up at the ring, gleaming on his mantle. The End. This described version of The Hobbit was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Robert Goodman, narrated by Arabie Lockhart, woven into the soundtrack by Randy Giroux and Valerie Hawkschild, and produced by Marco Sorin. For other described movies and audio cinema presentations, available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Animation Coordinator Toru Hara. Animation Supervisor Sugiyuki Kubo. Character Design Lester Abrams and Sugiyuki Kubo. Background Design Minoru Nishida. Animation Directors Katsuhisa Yamada and Koichi Sasari. Animators Kazuyuki Kobakaski, Tadakatsu Yoshida, and Hidemi Rubo, Yukiyoshi Hane, Hidetoshi Koreko, Kazuko Ito. Sound effects, Tom Clack. Sound recording, John Corsio, Dave Iveland, Bob Elder. Choral direction, Lois Winter. Associate producer, Masaki Iizuka. A Rankin Bass production.